Hello, everybody. Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Matters. Thank you so much for joining us as we do this program here at the end of 2025, beginning of 2026. And I'm going to do a year in review, kind of reflections. And I want to start out with an important conversation I had just the other day. I was on a Zoom call with a group, and I was asked kind of out of the blue, what are the three biggest problems facing us today? And of course, I'm in the public policy, political sector. You all know what we're about. We're engaging some of the big issues and challenges of our time. And so how do you respond to that? What are the three biggest problems facing us today? Well, my response was, particularly as a Christian, that from a Christian worldview perspective, was that as Christians in this country, we do not live Christianly. I know that's a bold statement, and some of you might just feel like you got punched in the face. That's not my intention. But as I reflect on our culture, what our cultural mores are, how we act, how we live, how we think, how we engage others, our neighbors, or how we engage politically, I cannot help but come to the conclusion that as Christians, we are more shaped by the culture around us. We're more influenced by the culture as far as how to do life, how to act, and how to engage than we are by God's word, than we are by living in Christian community. It's that, or it's either simply ignorance. You know, there are new believers, and they're simply trying to figure out how to live and how to honor God with their lives. But my response to this person's question, again, it comes down to those who identify as Christians not living Christianly. And by the way, in Kentucky, that number is upwards of 70% who identify as Christian. That's according to a survey taken quite a while ago. I'm pretty sure it's very similar to that today. The problem that we're facing today, the challenges that we're facing today, is not mostly from those on the outside, whether it's those who are in office, even though they're real issues and the decisions, those who are serving in government, that has an impact on us. But that's more of a reflection on where the people are, on where the electorate is, what they expect, how they look to their leaders, what they expect from their leaders. I suggest that the challenge for us today is for us to look internally. Who are we? How are we acting? But then more importantly, look to God. The challenge for us is to look to God, to live by His word, to spend time in prayer, to spend time in Christian community. Ask yourself, what's shaping you? What is it that shapes you, informs you, that's informing you as well? My hope for 2026, and then I'm going to pivot over to the year in review part here. But my hope in this new year is that we would see an awakening. You know, our problems are many, and they are big, and they are demanding. They're bigger than just any political leader can offer, or any political solution can fix. We need an awakening. An awakening is the reality of God, and then what He desires of us. I think that most Americans identify as believers in one form or another. Most Americans identify as Christians still, but we need this understanding of truly who God is and then what He asks of us. And you know, when we truly pursue Him and seek Him and conform our lives to His word and begin to live according to His word, there's an incredible dividend that comes with that. It's peace and it's joy. We find purpose and meaning in life. Something that no politician can prescribe, something that Washington, D.C. can't give to us or state government cannot give to us, but walking with God can. And that's my hope for you in this new year. That's my hope for the Christian community across Kentucky, the entire community, not just the Christian community. I'm hoping that if we see awakening, we will see many people come to faith in Christ and to do life differently. That is our greatest need. All right, that's my summary of what I think our greatest challenge is today and what our greatest need is. I'd like to pivot over to a few of the milestones and news events that took place in 2025. And of course, there's a lot to talk about, but I want to cover the high points, the major events of 2025. And I think one of the most significant events was the assassination of Charlie Kirk, where he was speaking to a group of students at Utah Valley University in Utah, and he was assassinated in front of a crowd of 3,000. Murder was caught on video, and it was awful. This was the highest profile, what I'll call a political murder, because Charlie Kirk was a very political figure. He engaged politics from a distinctly Christian worldview and engaged conversation with those on the other side. And I would say he did it well, with grace and with care. This was the highest profile political murder, though, since 1968. And this resulted in some 90,000 people attending his memorial service. It was led by religious leaders from across the spectrum. And also political leaders attended and spoke at this service, including President Donald Trump. Now, that murder, as tragic as it was, really revealed a lot about where America is. It was perhaps the zenith of our political alienation, where one person's view and perspective on the issues led to another person believing that they had a duty or a right or whatever to take that other person out. And that's what we saw there. Tragic, awful. Hopefully justice is done, but hopefully this murder in the end will not be in vain. As Erica Kirk, his widow, has said, she forgave the assassin, and she's hoping that God would use the death of her husband, which, let me pause and just add something to that. That's not normal behavior, to forgive somebody who killed your spouse, to publicly say, I forgive him. It's not normal human or fleshly behavior, but it is behavior that is possible when Christ comes into somebody's life. We know that Christ forgives sinners, and that when somebody comes to faith in Christ, they have an incredible sense of gratitude, an incredible sense of feeling forgiven, and that extends horizontally to others. When somebody's wronged us, when somebody, even to the extent of taking a loved one, we're spiritually a new person. And we're allowed and made able to even forgive the killer of a spouse. So just a parenthetical note there. Another big issue this year, something that we've talked about on this program and commentaries I've done over the years, is related to gambling. And sports gambling has gone mainstream here in Kentucky. It was legalized just 3 years ago. I think it's something like 34 states may have legalized sports gambling. But just in the last couple months of 2020, scandals in Major League Baseball, scandals in the NBA. In fact, there was an FBI sting on illegal sports gambling that netted 34 arrests, including an NBA player and two coaches. One was a Hall of Famer. The University of Louisville football coach, Brian Brome, was threatened. He had death threats against him and against his family, from somebody who lost a bet on a game. And that person was taken into custody not too long ago. Now, my question is this, is when will the NFL scandal begin? That's perhaps the largest professional sports franchise and brand in the country. And if it does happen to the NFL, you just got to wonder. I think it's a matter of time. I think it'll be sad when that happens, but we have normalized something that was viewed as vice, something that was kept in the shadows. It's been mainstreamed, and many people are engaging in gambling. And by the way, gambling doesn't create winners. It creates losers, and that's where Sports Kings and FanDuel and Churchill Downs make their money. It's based on people losing. All right, enough of that. Moving on. Another major story is the MAGA meltdown. Now, Donald Trump took office in January of 2025. There have been a lot of major policy changes and shifts. I would say a number of them are good, positive policy shifts. But there have been also a lot of conflict, and we're seeing perhaps the MAGA coalition peeling apart. It started early this year. I want to go back to February, March, when maybe April, when Trump's Department of Government Efficiency point man, Elon Musk, had a very public and acrimonious falling out with the president in public. And that was an early sign of the rift. And it was over not being aggressive enough in cutting wasteful government programs and spending. Marjorie Taylor Greene was in the news just a little over a month ago, where she announced that she is not running again for Congress and that she's going to vacate her office in January. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene was one of the most outspoken supporters of President Trump, and she no longer supports him. They have had a serious falling out and a number of reasons that I'm not going to go into. She explained it in a lengthy interview at Politico recently. Let's bring it here to Kentucky. Thomas Massie, the congressman of the 4th District, one of the most conservative members of Congress. He is a fiscal hawk. He is somebody who supports a balanced federal budget. He voted against the Big Beautiful Bill. He also supported a discharge petition that asked for a vote in Congress on the release of the Epstein files. And that created a huge rift with the president. But the president has said some very, very unkind things about Congressman Massie. And he's recruited somebody to run against Thomas Massie in the upcoming May primary. These are just a few of the rifts that are happening with the MAGA movement. By the way, just to reiterate, I think a lot of policies have been good that Donald Trump has enacted. We're going to talk about a few here in just a minute. But I want to reflect for just a moment, and I know I'm probably going to step on some toes, and I've had personal conversations with people over the past year or so, and really going back longer than that, as far as how to engage policy well, how to move the political needle well. And one of the principles that I have lived by here at CPC and over the years is to treat people well. If you're in a place of power, if you're in a place of influence, if you are in office especially, you have a duty to be respectful. You have a duty and a responsibility to treat others with care, with dignity. And that's something that Donald Trump has not specialized in. That's something that I encourage you to pray for him. Pray for the president, pray for those who he surrounds himself with, and that he would turn a corner when it comes to engaging others and interacting with others, and that he would treat others well. Even when there are policy disagreements, even when he has to make firm decisions, he can still treat people fairly and well.
Hi, my name is Richard Nelson, founder and executive director of the Commonwealth Policy Center. We're here to shore up the sanctity of human life, religious freedom, natural marriage, and sound fiscal policies. At the Commonwealth Matters, we have conversations with leading thinkers and policymakers to help us think biblically about the great issues of the day. If you appreciate our work, then please consider a donation today. This work is entirely supported by people just like you. Your gifts and tax-deductible contributions help to underwrite this program, and you help to get this important message out all across the Commonwealth. We believe that the Commonwealth of Kentucky is a great place to live, and we want to keep it that way for our families and our children. That's why we're standing for what's right, for what's good, and what's true right here in Kentucky. Thanks in advance for your support, and may God bless you.
Moving on to another big issue, this brings it to Kentucky. There will be a huge Medicaid increase as far as the state obligation to pay the Medicaid bills. Prior to the Big Beautiful Bill, the federal government covered 90% of Medicaid expenditures, whereas each of the states covered 10%. Now, that number's really changing quite a bit. Now, the federal government going into effect in 2026, the federal government is covering only 70% of Medicaid expenditures. The state government will cover just a little over, right about 30%, just under 30%, actually. What does this mean for Kentucky? Well, there are
1.4 million people on Medicaid. It's about one out of every three Kentuckians that receive Medicaid. And it's going to take our state legislature some heavy lifting to come up with the shortfall. It's about $1.2, $1.3 billion to cover increased Medicaid funding. Watch for that issue in the upcoming General Assembly session. Tax reductions. Here's some good news. I love good news. I think we're ready for some right now. Kentucky Republicans once again reduce the state income tax, and beginning here in January, the state tax rate drops to 3.5%. What does that mean? Well, it means that hardworking Kentuckians will have $724 million going back into their pockets. That doesn't go just into one person's pocket, but across the board. Those who pay state income taxes will be getting a tax rebate, if you will, and that adds up. Watch for the General Assembly session in 2026 to continue to decrease that state income tax. Another issue I expect to come up in the legislature is a discussion and possibly a bill to reduce social media harms to minors. And I'm talking about minor, young kids, teenagers, getting on TikTok and getting on Facebook and Instagram, where they're often bullied, where they're ridiculed, a place, by the way, where predators lurk. They're often child predators on these various social media sites, masquerading as other kids and luring kids into bad situations. I expect a discussion to come up in the General Assembly session to restrict social media to minors, those 16 and under. And by the way, Australia banned social media use for minors under the age of 16 just a couple months ago. And I'm hoping that Kentucky's legislature will do the same, if not this session, in the near future. Related to social media is the word of the year. You know what that is? Rage bait. That's according to the Oxford Dictionary. Rage bait is content that is meant to anger and garner clicks and views. It's inflammatory postings on any social media outlet, or it's those TikTok reels or YouTube reels that are meant to anger or frustrate. Here's my thought on that. I'll just tell you how I live. I've got enough going on in my life. I don't need anything to further increase stress or to bring about anxiety or anger. Just stay away from that. Stay away from something that looks inflammatory. You know what? Your body will thank you. You will have less anxiety. Your blood pressure will go down, and you're going to feel better if you stay away from the rage bait. In fact, if I could encourage you, and I'll just share a little bit about myself, I am trying to minimize my time on social media. Now, organizationally, Commonwealth Policy Center is on social media daily, and it's because of programs like this, and it's because of other things we do that we're communicating with the broader public. But as far as me spending time and scrolling, I'm really trying to get away from it. And maybe I need to make a resolution just to have a social media fast. I think that would be a good idea for all of us. Moving on to big issues. I had mentioned just a few minutes ago that I think a number of federal policies from the Republican Congress and from Donald Trump have been good for us. One has been immigration. Illegal immigration at the southern border has been significantly reduced in 2025. I was listening to a federal official speak to this a couple months ago, and he had reflected on the reports for that particular month, and there was like apprehensions in the single digits. I did a little searching from the immigration authorities at the federal level, and I compared the month of August 2024, this is before Trump was elected, compared to 2025 after Trump was in office. And in 2024, there were some 60,000 apprehensions at the southern border. These were people who crossed illegally. They did not have documentation. 60,000. In 2025, August 2025, 1 year later, it was about 6,000 apprehensions. That is a 10x decrease and apprehensions. And we've seen that all throughout the year. And I think that will be the trend to continue, which, by the way, one of the few things that the federal government is obligated to do is to preserve and protect our borders, to know who's coming into the country, and to have an orderly system of immigration. And by the way, immigration is a good thing. Immigration is something that we've welcomed it from our very beginning. But it's something that must be restricted. We must know who's here, and there needs to be an orderly way. And Donald Trump has delivered on that promise. Another promise talked about that really Republicans have talked about for decades is defunding the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. There was a rescission bill that was enacted back in summer that defunded the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which funds public radio stations and PBS, the public broadcasting system, that's public TV. It's about $1.1 billion of cuts. That went into effect on October the 1st. And I think just as a matter of public policy and fiscal responsibility, that was a good move. Look, we live in a day and age where there's tons of social media. There's all kinds of podcasters. There's all kinds of information outlets there. And the question is why should public broadcasting get tax dollars to do what other people are doing out of their own pocket, or they've created a paradigm in which they're able to bring in revenue? And I don't think public broadcasting, by the way, is going away. I think they're going to find new people to support it and to keep it going. All right, the ICE controversies. Major cities are protesting, or they city officials are opposed to ICE actually enforcing immigration laws here. ICE is getting a lot of criticism. And early on when this first started, there were some ICE authorities that were attacked. We saw some violent protests. I find this interesting because we've seen actually the federal government upholding the law at the southern border and sealing the border. And here you have ICE agents going into our cities trying to root out illegal immigrants. And I think we can have a lengthy discussion as to how to go about doing that. I do not think that major mainline networks have covered this fairly. And there's been a number of stories that have misreported on this. But anyways, this is a big story, just that you have local officials that have pushed against federal authorities trying to uphold federal immigration law. Of course, we saw No Kings protests all throughout the summer as millions protested the Trump administration and his policies. I want to pivot to what's happening in 2026. This is our nation's 250th anniversary. Planned celebrations for July 4th, promised to be grand. Trump is planning all kinds of activities in Washington, D.C., parades and events. And, you know, it's no small feat for a nation to make it to 250 years with the same founding political documents in place. Now, we're celebrating the Declaration of Independence that was signed July 4th, 1776. We actually didn't become a nation, by the way, until 1787. That's when the U.S. Constitution was ratified by the colonies. But the Declaration marks the time that we've separated from Great Britain. The colonies insisted upon their independence. They objected to egregious abuses by King George. They cited in the Declaration a number of violations of their rights as free people. And the founding fathers who signed that document, those 56 signers, as you read in the document, they staked their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor on these principles that we celebrate today, these American ideals that there's a creator who endows us with rights. We have something called the laws of nature and of nature's God. This idea that every human being has dignity and value, and that the king, no matter how powerful, cannot roll over the rights of people and of lesser duly constituted
governments like the colonies were. Take this opportunity, if you could, to talk to your kids and your grandkids about the great gift that we call America. Talk about some of our ideals, not just in the Declaration of Independence, but in the U.S. Constitution as well. And I think going back to what I started out earlier in the program about the three great challenges that are facing us, I just shared the first response. The first answer I gave was that as self-identified Christians don't act Christianly. The second great challenge that we face that I'd shared on this Zoom call was that we as Americans do not know what we have in this country. And unfortunately, there's a large number of people that don't really care. They don't understand that we have this beautiful form of government that limits the role of government. This form of government that protects our rights and our freedoms, this First Amendment thing, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom to assemble, freedom of the press, that's a gift. And it's a gift that most people throughout history have never experienced, that we have shackles on our federal government, shackles that keep it from being involved with our personal lives, shackles that keep it from overreaching and overextending and rolling over our rights and our freedoms. Talk to your kids and talk to your grandkids about this great gift that we have called America. And friends, let me encourage you, as you start the new year, count your blessings. Of course, you know, reflect on the great gifts that we have. Reflect on how God has been good to us as a people, how He's been good to you in your own life. But then seek Him. That's my encouragement. Just as I started out this program, I want to encourage you to seek after the living God, the God who spoke the world into existence, the God who made mankind, male and female, in His image, and the God who cared enough about us to rescue us from our sin and our futility and from the darkness that we're living in apart from Him. My hope is that you would seek Him, that you would turn to Christ as the author of salvation and to begin to walk with Him. That is my best advice as you begin this new year. My wish to you all is that you would have a happy new year, that you'd be blessed, that you'd prosper and find great joy. God bless you. Thank you all for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.